They got the bug boy on him.
The bug boy?
The little fella's been riding his heart out. They're gonna break his maiden.
Really? Yeah, but it's a little slow out there. It rained last night.
Oh, this baby loves the slop. Loves it. Eats it up. Eats the slop. Born the slop. His father was a mutter.
His father was a mutter.
His mother was a mutter.
His mother was a mutter.
What did I just say? Yeah. Hey. All right, 600 Papernick to win.
How we doing, everybody? It's Jakey, and this is another episode of the Rotten Potatoes podcast, a podcast where four friends sit around and review movies you absolutely should have seen, but at least one of us hasn't. And I'm here with three of my friends.
I'm Zach.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Scotty.
And today we're talking about a movie that if you...
You dropped that so fast.
What did I drop? Your, oh, the voice? I can't.
I was I wanted to see how long you'd
Today we're talking about a movie.
Yeah. Do it the whole episode.
I can't. I think can't you can. Keep doing it.
I think you can.
Okay.
It's getting worse.
Yeah.
It's definitely getting worse.
A movie that changed me. If you are watching on Patreon, you can see that I'm a changed man.
That's true. Can you audibly let all the tots out there know what you look like right now?
Yeah, if you're listening at home, I've got my sunglasses on inside. Hugo Boss. I've got my championship ring. I've got my chain. And I got my ears pierced.
If you guys want to know how changed Jake is, I showed up here this morning and he texted me and said, "Can you let me out?" And I had to go let him out of his trunk and he was naked.
Yeah, these are the clothes I had in the car. I had Gucci on before this.
Gucci tracksuit.
Yeah.
But Jake, you don't really have a trunk, right? You have a frunk?
I have a frunk and I have a trunk.
Oh, you do
I have
also.
Both.
Okay,
yeah,
wow.
Which one were you in, the frunk or the trunk?
I was in the frunk.
Yeah, I was like, dude, the trunk's empty. He's like, I'm the frunk. Naked.
It's a lot smaller.
It's more insulting. Yeah. You told the goons, like, at least put me in the trunk.
And they're like, no. In the frunk, it's hard. There's no carpet in there.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough, Jakey.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta say, you should just start, you know, paying your debts, you know?
I think instead, what I did do is I placed a 5-leg parlay on the outcome of this podcast. And I've got to say, it's going well already.
Are you covering so far?
Yeah, so far. But Scott's house is on the line.
Oof.
If I lose, you lose.
Oh, you bet my house.
Yeah.
Two?
Yeah.
Who accepted that?
Who's Jakey's cousin again?
Arnie Schwarzenegger.
You can pass as a Schwarzenegger right now.
He's my bookie.
What are some of the...
Do you just like meet him at the gym? Is that how that you just show up to Gold's gym?
We run in the same circles.
they're called prop bets, right? What are some of the prop bets you've made?
First of all, I have, you know, the bet that this is going to get higher than an 8.
Okay.
Which, Scott, if you want to keep your house.
It's good that you bet his house.
Yeah. Oh, like my house is already...
Oh,
on another bet.
It's already leveraged.
Got it. Yeah. Well, I think Scott's your biggest threat to above an 8.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
if we get through just the facts in under a minute, then that's one of the bets. So, well, you'll see. You'll see. I'll react.
Okay.
I'll react in the moment.
Yeah.
You'll know.
Okay. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Was one of the bets on if I would play the audio that you sent me or just pick something
else? That was huge. That was
huge. Was that like the tip off?
We needed that. Yeah.
What does Howie say? We're dead without that. Yeah.
If you didn't do that, we would be in so much trouble.
How does it work if I played the audio you wanted, but from a different video because yours sounded awful?
Well, that's, I don't think they're going to know about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Stop.
Don't.
Yeah.
Just don't tell Arnie about that.
Don't listen to this.
Yeah, exactly. Don't tell Arnie about it.
Yeah. Hopefully they're not paying attention to the thing in which the bet rides on. Yeah. Hopefully. Jake, we're not reviewing Seinfeld though, are we?
No, surprisingly.
Just something with really big Seinfeld energy.
Yeah. No, I sat down to watch Seinfeld. And I made it about halfway through before I realized I wasn't watching Seinfeld.
Yeah. But we're reviewing Uncut Gems, right?
Yeah, which is really an aspirational tale for me. I have a take on this movie, and I think that's kind of what inspired this bit for me, is that my friend Carlos, a friend of the show, has said that Scarface is what everybody in the hood, these are his words, not mine, I don't know. they'll watch Scarface and they will not treat it as like a cautionary tale. They'll just be like, this is where he went wrong and this is what I would have done better.
Oh, wow.
And okay. I think that this movie is that for gambling addicts.
Oh, yeah.
Like just sports betting addicts. And I think that's what this movie is.
Yeah, it should be the thing that deters them from it, but it in fact just inspires them to do it more.
Yeah, they'd be like, oh, well, I cannot do what he did. I can do it right.
Which is what happened to you.
Yeah, I'm doing it right.
Yeah. Betting Scott's house.
I'm going to win so big. So big.
Whose house my do mistress, you win? If
my mistress is flying to Pechanga right now. Mm. To place a bet at the sports book.
Nice.
That I assume they have.
Flying to Pechanga.
Yeah, I'm in a helicopter.
Well, Jake, I would ask why you nominated this movie, but we all know why. It was under false pretenses.
Yeah. How much did that really influence your decision?
A lot, actually.
I
was like, that is such an interesting take, and I thought you were going to have anything to back it up. Like, I was like, I really want to know what Zach means by this, and I want to dig into that, because that if this movie has Seinfeld energy, I love that.
Can I be honest?
What? It was a lie, just a complete lie.
Here's me being honest. You said, I want to know why Zach said that. I also want to know why I said that. It felt like in the moment, I was like, this is a funny bit. And it wasn't purely me just like trying to lie to you. But I can't, like, I've thought back a few times, like, what about this made me say that this has Seinfeld energy? And I can't think of anything.
You can't come up with it.
Mm-mm.
The only scene that I felt like had Seinfeld energy was the scene where they stick their heads out the window and they like transfer the money that way.
That had Seinfeld energy?
Just because there's hijinks, definitely scenes, you know? Where there's hijinks and they're sticking their heads out the window doing stuff.
I came into this wanting it to have Seinfeld energy so bad that I took a note. I had a note on my phone called Uncut Gems Seinfeld. And then I started immediately. I said, okay, I can see Kramer doing something weird, which leads them to think that he has a cancerous polyp in his intestines. And then from that moment on, I was too stressed to think about Seinfeld.
Yeah. There were multiple times where I would get online and Google Seinfeld Uncut Gems, Seinfeld Safdie Brothers, Seinfeld, like looking for any connection.
Any tenuous connection to justify.
I texted Zach. I said, I'm 25 minutes in and I already can't handle this. And then about 10 minutes later, I said, I'm about to have a panic attack. And then about 10 minutes after that, I said, I don't know if you've seen a single second of Seinfeld.
Well, Scott, why don't you hit us with a little bit of Just the Facts?
Yeah, so this was directed by the Safdie brothers. It was also written by the Safdie brothers and Ronald Bronstein. For release date, it just says Ronald Bronstein. So, well, I'll have to get that for you guys.
It was back in 2019. I know that.
Yeah, it was 2019. Runtime, 135 minutes. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 91%. IMDb gave it a 7.4. Had a box office of $50 million on a $19 million budget, so a 2.6 return on that, and then was not nominated or win any awards.
Wow,
that's under a minute, baby.
We got it.
We're going.
What about it not having the release date?
That was not a bet that I placed. But
because I never was able to say it, do I have to like go and find it in under a minute?
Scott, I think we're done.
This needs to go well for you. Yeah. Yeah. Why are you questioning these bets?
I don't think him betting my house will stand up in court.
This is not going to court.
It will if I lose
house. These guys don't care about court, man.
Yeah. They're more the thumb-breaking kind, less the serving paperwork.
Yeah, you've seen the end of this movie, right?
Oh, man. Well, Jake, I mean, obviously, not quite Seinfeld energy.
Oh, this was a Christmas movie. December 25th, 2019.
It does. Yeah, I thought that. I remember thinking, like, not only does this have Seinfeld energy, but this is, like, objectively a Christmas film.
But hold on. How is it going to have Seinfeld energy if it's a Christmas movie? Seinfeld's Jewish.
Does it? Is there never an episode where Christmas is mentioned?
It's a Festivus.
Festivus is mentioned. I don't think they really talk about Christmas.
I'm glad you brought this up. Good timing on making us watch this during Passover.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the thing. You can't have this both ways, though. You said that one of your reasons for this being like Seinfeld is it's one of the most Jewish movies, according to people, which I read some unhinged articles, by the way. There was an article titled Uncut Gems and something, a triumphant ode to the Jewish strivers. And I was like, did you watch the movie?
Interesting.
That was a triumphant bullet at the end. You know?
Yeah.
Maybe they're talking about the people who made the movie, not the characters in the movie.
But it's an ode. They said it's an ode to them. So, like, but yeah, you were like, it's a very Jewish movie. So it's like Seinfeld, but now you're like, it's a Christmas movie. You can't have both.
I'm just trying to get you going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been going. Came into this going.
I'm just trying to throw gasoline on the fire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because I know how protective you are over your Christmas films.
Yeah. It's getting darker in here, and I'm wearing sunglasses.
It is getting darker in here.
It's because there's clouds outside.
Yeah.
And our phones are shaking so much.
I'm sorry. I'm getting excited.
Back up a little bit from the desk, maybe.
No.
But great, great Passover movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably my favorite one.
I mean, there's a Passover scene in this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Jake, you know, Seinfeld notwithstanding, Seinfeld energy notwithstanding, you were the only late bloomer to this?
I was also.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
I guess I can give my takes. I really didn't know what to expect. I didn't even know this movie was about a gambling addict. I just knew that he was like a jeweler in New York. That was about all I knew about it. And then I immediately regretted. I don't know if I could tell you if it was a good movie or a bad movie because I was so stressed watching this movie. I've never watched a movie. I was thinking about this. And any movie I've ever watched, and that I think includes Scarface, I've never seen a character make what I think is the exact opposite decision I would make in any situation more than this. Like every single decision Howie made is the opposite decision to what decision I would make, and it stressed me out. So I thought I legitimately thought I was going to have a panic attack when he went to go pawn the championship ring as soon as he got it, and then he placed that money on. I was like, I'm going to die. So I don't know if I could tell you if I think this is a good movie or a bad movie.
How did you feel when Arno decided to pull the bet?
Oh my gosh. It was insane. Arno pulls the bet. I guess that makes sense for Arno, but then Howie's just ruined. Like I was watching this movie after work with my girlfriend at her house, and then she hated it and was so stressed that she got up in the middle of it and just went to go work.
Work was less stressful.
Work is less stressful.
Yeah, like the real life stresses of her job and whatever were preferable to being stressed out by this movie. So I'm going to need you guys to tell me if it was good or not. I don't know. My watch was dead while I was watching this, and I'm pretty bummed because I would have loved to have known what my heart rate was while I was watching this movie.
Zach, you had seen this movie before, right?
I had, yeah.
Did you see this in theaters or how?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, nice. What did you think the first time you watched it, and what did you think kind of watching it back through this time for the pod?
So it was interesting. Before I had even seen Uncut Gems, I had watched the Safdie's other movie, Good Time. And so I had seen that. And I remember at the time when Good Time came out, that's when I had first heard of the Safdie's and, you know, people in Letterboxd and, you know, in film bro circles, whatever, online were like, these guys are the new Scorsese, whatever. Like, these guys are the next big thing.
Mm.
Like, in movies. And I watched Good Time and I was like, that was like good. It was entertaining. It was well made, but like a feel bad time for sure. And then, so going into Uncut Gems, I remember thinking like, it's probably also going to be a big time feel bad movie. And it absolutely was. I watched it with Kate. I think she also hated it, but she couldn't get up 'cause we were in the theater, which was unfortunate for her. And I remember thinking, like, I think this movie is better than Good Time, but I don't know if I enjoyed it anymore because it was even more feel bad. Like, just, I felt awful. I felt, like, so stressed and, like, kind of gross and just, it didn't leave me, like, with a good feeling. And so I feel like at my first time, I would have left the theater and probably said, like, yeah, I think that this is, like, technically a good movie, but, like, I just don't know if this is really for me. And so going into it this time, I kind of was holding that feeling. And I got to say that, like, this time I freaking loved it. Like, I don't know. I was so locked in. I don't think I've been, like, so locked in on a podcast movie since The Departed. Like, it reminded me of watching The Departed, where I not only am I just, like, engaged and entertained, but it feels like every scene I'm, like, on the edge of my seat. And every scene just feels like the most important scene in the movie. And then the next scene happens and it's like, this feels like the most important scene in the movie. And the entire time I'm, like, stressed, but I'm excited. And I, like, I'm so into everything that I'm seeing. I don't really know why, like, this time it just really worked on me, but it really worked on me. Like, I really loved it.
Scott's house is glad to hear you say that.
Scott, well, I guess I'll give my takes and then we'll go to you last. I had seen this movie a couple of times before. I saw it, I believe I saw it in theaters, and if I didn't, I saw it really shortly after, like as soon as it, you know, became available, you know, on like streaming services or iTunes or whatever. Yeah, I actually watched it sort of twice for the pod. Like, back when we had our draft, I was like, oh man, I'm gonna watch Uncut Gems. Like, you know, I haven't thought about that movie in a long time, and watched it back then, and then watched it again, you know, now just a couple of months later. And I think I agree with Zach. I don't know that I love this movie, but I'm engaged the entire time. I mean, I'm paying attention to every single, twist and bend in Howie's story. And he's just such a hateable character. But somehow, like, I don't know, like by the end, like, I'm kind of like Arno, like at the end, I'm kind of rooting for him. Like, he did it, you know, like, I can't believe it. You know, he pulled it off, you know.
The Safdies said something similar in an interview that I listened to. They were like, Sandler's so good at playing the a-hole that, like, you shouldn't like, but he can make that kind of character likable and, like, rootable. And not a lot of people can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, to think about, like, a performance like this up against, like, early Adam Sandler, which is like super formational for me, like Happy Gilmore, I can quote that movie front to back and back to front, you know, and Billy Madison, pretty much the same thing. And so many other Sandler movies, but like, he was really like, I remember being maybe a preteen and my mom got for me the Adam Sandler, one of his comedy albums, because she like really like liked his comedy albums. And like, I was showing like an interest in like Adam Sandler and in comedy. And I think it was the first comedy album I had ever listened to. And, you know, super like formational for me, but to be able to play those kind of characters and then turn around and play Howie is kind of crazy. I mean, I shouldn't say turn around. There's a lot of years in between, but still like, that's the same actor, and that kind of blows me away. So, yeah, and I thought the Safdies did a great job writing this. I thought they did a really great job directing this. The movie just feels kinetic. Like, even just how they, you know, how they move the camera around his shop, following people around. Like, it just feels very kinetic and very, like, alive and engaging the entire time. So I thought this movie did a great job. I thought it killed on what it tried to do. Scott, you were a late bloomer though.
I was a late bloomer. I went in not expecting any Seinfeld energy.
I was gonna ask, how prepared were you for what this movie was going to be?
I didn't know what it was gonna be. I didn't read up on it or anything beforehand. just because it was a Adam Sandler Netflix movie. Like it premiered
on Grown-Ups.
I mean, I saw the like previews when they first came out, so I knew it was like serious. I knew it wasn't like a comedy.
As in like it was on Netflix or like Netflix, because Netflix didn't produce it. Is that what you're saying?
It like released on Netflix like almost instantaneously of when it came out.
No, I don't think so. Did it?
I don't know.
But it's been on Netflix a lot. Yeah.
Maybe it was after it came out, but that's where I first saw it, was like Netflix previews and things like that. Yeah, it was about what I expected. I thought it was like produced well. I do think Adam Sandler did a good job acting. I hated my experience, though. Like, didn't root for him in any moment. Was always kind of hoping the bad things would happen to him. When he finally got shot in the face at the end, I literally said good. Like, it was, yeah, the whole movie was just filled with people I wouldn't want to be around. And so for me, like, that's what it felt like the whole time.
I'm sorry, I had to fight to not say something.
Keep, take down the Howie energy. Yeah.
And so, like, for me, the whole experience just felt like you were at a party with people you don't like.
Interesting.
Like, that, just, it was like, okay, like, why are we talking about this? Like, why is this important? Like, why do you talk like that?
You're telling me you wouldn't want to hang out with poor man's Dolph Lundgren?
I don't know who that is, but probably not.
Are you talking about the henchman?
You don't know who Dolph Lundgren is, or the goon?
Either. I don't.
Dolph Lundgren?
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
He kills Apollo Creed. Well, he's not Dolph Lundgren. He's
The Russian guy?
Yeah.
That's his name?
Yeah. But he goes on to like play often like the heavy and like action movies.
Was he in
and
this?
They look no, but oh. He just looks a lot like
the dude who kills Howie.
The dude who kills Howie. Yeah.
It's a smaller, older version.
And that was just a goon, right? That wasn't like a
yeah, that was the crazy thing to me about that ending was like this goon just went rogue. Like he was like hired by Arno.
I wondered if like I couldn't tell if this is just a hothead who was just who got super super emotional, or if he actually maybe had some money on the line as well.
I don't think he had any money on the line.
I think he hated Howie. He was making death threats to Howie the whole time.
Yeah,
and then he got locked in that room for an entire basketball game.
Yeah,
and was already trying to kill him, and then immediately killed him.
I feel like that scene, like killing Howie. I think it's a satisfying end to the film, and it feels like a very appropriate end. It doesn't hold a lot of gravitas for me, but when he kills Arno, that's like such a gut punch.
Me too.
It was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You really, like, this movie does a really good job at establishing Arno, and you think he's just like this slimy dude as well, and then you kind of start to feel really bad for him throughout. And I love that he actually kind of starts to cheer. Or and not cheer, but you can see he gets excited when when Howie's bet hits.
No, he like smiles and he even says like he did it. I can't believe he did it.
He feels like I mean, I'm sure he's probably not a good guy either. The fact that he would hire goons, but like he seems like a guy that is just in over his head a little bit.
Yeah,
I really feel for him.
I think he did such a great job. Arno did, like the actor, because I was watching this with Anu, and then. The first scene he comes in, I don't know if they had said they were related or not.
Mm-mm.
Because I didn't know. Yeah. And
that,
so
yeah, that was an interesting twist when we find out.
But the first scene he comes in when they're in the car, she was like, and he was like, are they like related? How does he know him? He looks so sad.
You can kind of tell that they have like some sort of connection, because Arno keeps saying like, don't say my name to Howie in the car. But I don't think you realize that they're family until Passover.
Yeah. No, you don't. Yeah. I just think that he did a very good job of portraying somebody who was like, because like there was no reason for him to be that upset. Like, I thought it was like, why is he so upset about this? But I think he did a very good job. Like you feel the connection between them before you know what it is. And I think that was all.
Right. Yeah. There's like a special type of animosity that Arno has that like can only come from like being screwed over a ton, you know? But like, you know, we're kind of thrown in and it's like, well, maybe he's just, you know, he's owed this guy money for a long time, you know, something like that. And you also, I don't know about you guys, but I also got the very strong sense from Arno, even early on, that the goons that he hired, that he didn't really like that was new for him. Like he wasn't like, you know, typically wasn't, you know, using enforcers to collect, you
which
know?
Is probably why he got one that went wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I even like, I felt that even early on that it was like, he doesn't quite have like control over these guys. Like he's definitely like employing them, but it doesn't seem like, you know, he's, like that hardened of a guy, you know?
Yeah. I think I wanted to get back to what we were talking about the ending and how we're getting shot. Cause I've been thinking about this so much. And I think that it is the only appropriate ending, but it is so unsatisfying. I think you said it was a satisfying ending. And I don't know what I would have wanted. Obviously, Howie couldn't win. Like, there was no way for him to win.
Right.
And there was no way for him to... But I didn't, like... This was, like, 2 hours of stress buildup with no catharsis for me at the end. and I'm trying to figure out what would have been better. But there was absolutely... And maybe that's what they wanted. I don't know. I didn't feel any catharsis out of anything. I just felt bad. You know, like, he wins, and you don't... I don't want him to win, because he doesn't deserve it, and he's not going to learn any lesson. But then he wins. He finally wins, and he's just dead. And it's so sudden, and it's so... I couldn't... Like, it was so unsatisfying, I think. Like, such an unsatisfying ending. But maybe that was what they wanted, but there's just, like... I've never... I think that was why I had a hard time getting to sleep after watching this movie. And I think that's like, I drove home. I drove like 30 minutes. I got in bed. I was still worked up. And I think that there's no release from the stress. There's like, there was no catharsis for me. So I was still just worked up. And I don't know. It just like, I hated the ending, but I don't know what else they could have done.
I don't think there's anything else that could have happened. I will say one of the things that I really appreciate about the end of this movie is, you know, there's that frenetic sort of action where, you know, Howie gets shot and then Arno gets shot. But I love really how this ends, where like I don't necessarily love the like it's very like Fight Club, like the camera like just going into the wound kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. Like we started with the colonoscopy with Howie,
craziest transition I've ever seen.
With the, you know, the going into the bullet hole. But I love just the prolonged like music and like color show to help me like kind of like process what just happened in the last few minutes.
Yeah, like this movie couldn't have ended with like a cut to black.
No.
Yeah. Roll credits. Like
is it it's been 25 years. Are Soprano spoilers on the table?
Oh, go for it.
So
yeah.
they couldn't have done a Sopranos ending.
No.
Where you're just looking at and then it's over. That's what mm-hmm. you're saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I'm just saying like that would have, because I've never seen The Sopranos, so I guess so. But I've kind of heard that that's what happens. We need that little bit of time to decompress, like Tyler's saying. And so like, if it was just a cut to black credits, especially if you're in the theaters, people just start getting up and you're just like, wait, hold on. Like let's sit and think about this a little bit. Like that, what Tyler's just describing kind of helps bring you down gradually.
Gotta see him face down in the gravy.
Is that a Sopranos thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just didn't feel that way. But mostly, I think it was just like...
Didn't feel what way?
The release or the countdown?
I didn't even feel like I was tense through the movie.
Oh, are you...
Is this another Requiem for a Dream thing?
Are you made like, of stone?
Yeah.
I just disliked these people so much. And like every time it's like, yeah, that's what you get. Yeah, that's what you like.
But does it stress you out to see people ruining their life like this?
Well, one, no, because it's not real.
Okay.
But it's based
You cry in movies. They're not real. What are you crying for?
It never connected with me in this one.
And a like, lot
I
of this
never
was,
made any connection.
Based on real people, like different... The Safdies spend a lot of time in the Diamond District, like talking to people, interviewing them. Howie is based on their dad's boss. So a lot of this is like kind of rooted in real people's stories.
Sure. I'm just saying like I never made any connection with any of the characters. And so it's hard to care about any of them or what happened in any of the situations. I might have been sad if like one of the very few innocent people of the movie would have been killed, like mm-hmm. maybe his kids or like his ex-wife or something. I don't know.
Interesting.
But I felt like there was so little innocence in this whole thing. Like they could have killed KD and I wouldn't have cared.
K- KG?
KG, yeah.
Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
You would have been sad to see KG murdered on screen?
I mean, I'm not a basketball fan, so I wouldn't.
That's the only reason. So if it was like a baseball guy, you'd be like, oh, I'm sad?
If also, it was Mike Trout.
Maybe. Kevin Garnett. Yeah, Kevin Garnett was pissing me off the whole movie.
Yeah, so
like, I felt because he wouldn't give him the stone back.
I felt like that was a little bit more their mutual friend. What's that guy's name? I forgot. It's Lakeith Stanfield, but I forgot the character's name.
Damani.
Damani. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say like,
bro, the stone was helping him win games.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Well, that's part of why I also didn't like KG is he thought that that was true. Well,
it was true.
Stone had nothing to do.
It gave him confidence.
Every professional athlete
has these weird superstitious.
I know, but it makes me not like them.
Yeah. Also, there's no way that we could have gotten. Like, I can't get behind. There's no way Howie would have started doing all of these crazy things. I mean, maybe he would have. He seems crazy. But, like, to just go and change his bet and then pawn the ring to place a $40,000 bet because he knows that KG has the magic stone, that's nuts. That had to be in the movie.
And I personally thought a lot of that stuff was just really fun.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I thought it was really exciting.
Yeah.
Like, I
had zero fun.
When they're KG still has the stone and, like, what's Sandler going to do? Like,
from when I saw that guy with his leg broken until the end credits, I had zero fun.
I had a blast with all the like high, fast paced, like,
yeah,
you know, running down, you know, to talk to the bookie. All right, throw out the whole bet. Here's more money. Like, yeah. You know, everything on KG, you know, like. Gosh, all of that was so electric.
And then his conversation with him where he's like just trying to piss him off to make him play better.
Yeah, yeah.
How he keeps constantly being like harassed by those two dudes who just got sold a bad Rolex or something. Those guys kept popping up.
Zach, I will say that scene is the only connection I could find between this movie and Seinfeld online. I read a stupid article about how that scene, and specifically the line where the bookie's like, oh, this is a bad bet or whatever he says. And then he says, I disagree. And then people are like, oh, that was so much like this scene in Seinfeld where they're renting.
You found
the car.
It an actual connection. Online. Yeah.
People are like, oh, this is like that scene in Seinfeld where they don't hold the rental car for him. And then they say like, I understand why we have reservations. And he says, I don't think you do. I found that. That's the only connection I found on the internet. But that scene, I don't agree, but somebody thought it.
Hey, I'm not alone.
Yeah. They might be alone. It sounds like you don't think it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think they're alone.
Maybe they'll reconvince you.
I am reconvinced. Yeah. This one article that Jake read and told me about has reconvinced me.
Of a Seinfeld episode you have not seen.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I really loved KG in this movie. I thought he was really good and a lot of fun.
I don't know. I how so? Because I kind of felt like he was the most replaceable character.
So in what way? Like you could have replaced him with a different NBA player or even just like a different, like completely different character, even not in the NBA. Like
probably a different NBA character because obviously Howie is a sports bettor and his like proclivity is basketball. So it's probably got to be an NBA player.
But somebody with acting chops like Michael Jordan from Space Jam.
Well, it was, or LeBron, frankly.
LeBron from Space
actually,
Jam.
LeBron actually is a good actor.
Oh, man. But I feel like LeBron could not be in this movie. I think he's too fun and lighthearted and goofy.
Oh yeah, that's
probably true. And KG has like a bit of like menace to him.
Yeah,
you know, like he's a little like I don't know. If
you're saying Bron's a little wuss.
That's not at all what I said.
Uh-huh.
But I'm saying there's a reason.
Are we starting beef with LeBron?
Yes, we are.
No, Zach is.
Starting?
No, I'm not.
We've been beefing with LeBron.
Nobody
for
told
four
me.
Seasons,
nobody told me we were beefing with LeBron.
Ever since we did Space Jam.
Wow.
All I'm saying is. All I'm saying, there's a reason that KG's in this movie and LeBron's in Space Jam 2.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's that probably fits. Because KG is within driving distance of New York.
Yeah.
Well, because this was filmed in 2019. So this was really interesting, part of, because that really wasn't an issue. Because at one point, they almost had Kobe Bryant
Oh, wow.
Be the, so it was super interesting.
He was going to have to get on a plane in this movie to go get his gym back.
That's the thing. That was what was really interesting is like the different dynamics that each different player would have had to play. And I'll just give you guys like a really brief like oral history of them making this movie and casting the different characters. The Safdie brothers started working on this movie 10 years prior to starting, like, they started writing the film 10 years prior to it actually being released. At the time, they were really trying to workshop who would fit for Howie. Harvey Keitel was one of the first people that they had in mind. And then it got to a point, they described a table read that they had where Sacha Baron Cohen was Howie. They had Amari Stoudemire as the KG, the NBA player. Tom Sizemore was Arno.
I love Tom Sizemore.
Oh, man.
I think that would have been kind of good.
No, I can't see Tom Sizemore as Arno. I could see Tom Sizemore as the heavy. As the goon.
Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah. John David Washington, Lakeith.
Man. But I will say, I really loved seeing Lakeith.
Lakeith is really good. They had ASAP Ferg in place of The Weeknd.
I want to get back to The Weeknd after you're done with this.
I realized Tom Sizemore died last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't we talk about him in Black Hawk Down?
I think we did.
Anyways, Isla Fisher would have played the wife, and then Riley Keough would have played Julia Fox's character. She's in Mad Max.
She's
in Daisy, yeah. I don't know if you guys watched
Scott doesn't know who it is.
I don't know who it is.
I thought that was really interesting. The way that they were kind of trying to workshop the Howie character into fitting with Sacha Baron Cohen, they described, we wanted to take Borat, but make him realistic and put him in the Diamond District. I think Sacha Baron Cohen is a good enough actor that he could do
pull
it well.
It off.
He looks at his mistress and he says, "I'm going to leave a Maui."
But apparently Sandler was who they wanted from the get go, and so when they first started kind of writing the script, they reached out to him. He flat out refused. Years later, again refused, and then he ended up seeing some of their work. He saw Good Time, and then ended up going back and watching some of their other movies, and reached out to them. And said, Josh Safdie describes a story where he texts Josh and he says, like, this is Sandler. Or he says, what does he say? He says, hey, it's Sandler. And Josh says that at the time I had a friend named Richard Sandler, I think, who was a painter. And so he was like, which one? And he was like, the famous one. He's like, I know a Richard Sandler who's famous, and he's like, the more famous one. But they were talking about which NBA player they'd be able to write into this story, and at first it was Amari Stoudemire. That didn't work out. They started talking about Kobe Bryant, and that was really interesting because they had to completely rework the script to find a real-life game where Kobe would have been on the East Coast and would have had these multiple high-scoring games. And so they had to go back and actually look for these real games and found these real games and found these games that would have worked for the story. And then by that point, after Josh had spent all the time like trying to figure out which game it was and completely reworking the script, Kobe's people came back to them and said, actually, Kobe wants to start directing. Like, that's what he's actually interested in. He doesn't want to act. So then they scrapped that idea. For a while, they were working with Joel Embiid, who plays for the 76ers. And Joel reminds me of LeBron in that I don't think he would have worked for this movie because he's like a likable, kind of goofy, meme-y guy. And I think that's why Kevin works really well, because Kevin, even as a player, he had that kind of menacing personality, and he was like a trash talker, and he was like kind of intimidating, and I think that presence really works for this movie.
No, I think I agree. I mean, I would have loved to have seen the version where it's Kobe.
I think Kobe could have worked.
Yeah,
because he's also so intense.
Oh yeah, a lot of intensity, and just kind of known for like putting his career maybe above relationships at times, like, you know, wasn't always like an easy guy to work with.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what, you know, a lot of people have said about him. And, you know, fans would just call it like, oh, he's a ball hog. But like the reality was like he just was tough to work with sometimes because his intensity and his drive was so high that it was just like his teammates like couldn't even really relate to him. Like he was just kind of, you know, when people say like he was on a different level, like he just kind of was on a different level a lot of the time. And I feel like that would have worked really well with this. And I probably would have even, I think I would have liked the movie more also because I just, you know, probably care about Kobe as a ball player more than I care about KG.
It would have been interesting to see because I think a lot of people probably feel that way. You know, like Kobe is just so universally loved. Even before his death, I feel like he was. It would have been interesting to see how much more successful this movie would have been if it was like Kobe Bryant's going to be in a movie with Adam Sandler. And it's
that
like
would have been
not there are no cartoons
and it's
in
not
it.
A family comedy. Like, right, like right. That would have been, I would assume that a lot of people would have been like really interested to hear what that or it, to see what that would be like.
It probably would have done more than 50 million in the box office.
Yeah.
Jake, you said you wanted to go back to,
oh, to the weekend.
Yeah.
To what did you guys think of him? I thought it was such an interesting part for him to take to, I think this was like probably 2019 is probably when the weekend was like most famous, right?
Probably
to come and just like, I feel like he was like, such a loser in this movie to like really? Come and take this movie where he's just like, I don't know. Like he just came off as like so weak and like trying to get with what's his name's girl. And like that whole scene was really weird. And then he just like has to hold off. Like he has to have people hold back Adam Sandler to stop from beating the crap out of him. Like I feel like he came off like such a loser in this movie. And if I was the Weeknd, I would not have taken this role. It's not like he's an actor anyways.
Right, right.
Like, just don't.
Well, he went and I think maybe he has like aspirations to be an actor because he ended up in that HBO show where he was like a main character.
Oh, yeah. I've heard nothing but bad things about it.
Yeah, I think it was awful.
But
yeah,
I forgot about that.
So I don't know if he's good at it.
Yeah, I thought it was so weird. I thought he was like, just, what did you guys think of him? I thought he was like such a loser in this movie.
I think I'm indifferent to him in this movie.
Yeah, to be honest, he just held so little, like, I mean, there was such little gravity around his character that, like, to be honest, like, he felt totally inconsequential. Like, to be honest, I felt like they could have just wrote in a fictional music artist, and I
would have liked that better. Honestly, it was a little bit distracting to me, because I was like, why is he, the whole time I was like, this is such a small part, and you're not doing a good job and you look like a loser. Why did you take this? That's all I could. That was the only relief I had, because I was like, why did he take this job?
Well, I think maybe one thing that The Weeknd does, and I was going to say that The Weeknd does well. I don't know if he does anything well necessarily in this movie, but I think what was smart about writing him into this movie is it maybe reinforces this idea that we are really in New York in 2012. When The Weeknd was still kind of like a little bit more on the underground side, he wasn't nearly as mainstream as he is now, but he was still a big deal back then. He was a big deal enough to where like people who are kind of like have one foot in or and both feet in the music industry would know who he is and know that he's like a rising star and has like rising clout. And that people like Lakeith's character would be there and like Julia Fox would be there. And I feel like it helps make New York 2012 feel even more realized, the same way where it's just like Kevin Garnett at playing for the Boston Celtics at the time. Like it helps put you in that time period.
I guess that's true. Like it makes it feel real to us. And I wonder how that will affect the aging of this movie. Like people who are kids now who are not going to remember who Kevin Garnett and The Weeknd are. I guess they're going to lose out on that, and it might as well have just been a fictional person and a fictional player.
Totally, yeah.
But like, I guess we remember and we have some context.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if that makes sense to me.
Because like you're saying, like it adds to the reality of it, but it really only adds to the reality of it if you know if these people are relevant and you remember that time.
Yeah, but I guess anyone who has any interest in like the, like I think that if I don't know, 20 years from now, if I was seeing the movie for the first time and I didn't know who any of these people were, but I enjoy it and I kind of like, so maybe if I'm a very casual viewership, then yeah, that's lost on me. But then I guess if I like look into or have any idea who, I don't know. I don't know if, I feel like we have to be very far removed for people to like have no idea who The Weeknd is or Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, that's probably true. I guess maybe it adds, like, it basically it creates an opportunity for more interest. You know, it's kind of what you're saying. Like, if I'm watching this and I'm not super familiar with them, now I want to become a little more familiar with Kevin Garnett just to even, like...
Yeah. I feel like you could almost say that about Adam Sandler. Like, when we're so removed that we don't know who he is, that could just be anyone. But if he makes an impression, then you can go back and look up who he is and realize he was a big deal, same way that...
That he was a comedy actor and...
I do think it'd be funny if like this was someone's first experience of Adam Sandler and then go to the comedy afterwards.
Gosh. Yeah, that would be
awesome.
I mean, that person probably exists.
I can't probably wait until my nephew is old enough to watch this movie because I don't think he's seen a single Adam Sandler movie. I'm going to do this.
You're gonna start him his experience of Adam Sandler.
And then the next day I'll show him Big Daddy.
No. The next day you show him Click.
No,
which is like just
one
somehow,
step in between.
Yeah, somehow like the worst of both worlds, you know?
I've got to say, it was really weird. I think this is the first time I've seen an Adam Sandler movie where Rob Schneider wasn't shoehorned in there. I was kind of expecting him to show up in the crowd somewhere.
Or Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, yeah. Like if they would have been... would have been the guys that he gave the fake Rolex to.
I was just going to say, I could see Steve Buscemi as one of those guys.
Yeah.
That actually would have been great. Steve Buscemi and Rob Schneider just coming up to Adam Sandler like, you sold us a bad Rolex. Like, oh man, that would have, I mean, it would have totally taken me out of the movie.
Yeah, I think the Letterboxd bros would have been upset, but any casual viewer would have been like, this is the best movie I've ever seen.
Yeah. It would have raised the movie a full point for me.
I think Scott would have been like, okay, this,
I might have enjoyed it more.
I like this movie. Yeah.
Scott would have watched this movie just from Schneider to Schneider, basically. Just every time Rob Schneider shows up, Scott's like back in it. Like,
all right, finally, we're here.
Just replace that hothead goon with Kevin James.
Oh, wow.
Chris Rock is Lakeith Stanfield.
Okay, so we're going grown-ups.
We're going full grown-ups.
Mm-hmm. You never go full grown-ups.
Leave David Spade out of it.
I was going to ask who David Spade was.
We're not going full.
David Spade can be the guy that works for Howie. That like is pissed off that like Howie's not paying attention to him when he's like digging through the fish.
Oh, that dude.
Yeah, that dude.
I got a lot of important people who want to work with me, Howie.
That could be David.
Okay.
Guys, I'm losing earrings.
He just watched.
Literally fell as you said that.
I picked him up twice. he could be just really out of left field. Put him in a bunch of makeup and make him the guy that's in the back. Like cutting the gems or cleaning the stuff.
Yeah.
That's who David Spade
is. Like put him in a bodysuit.
Yeah. Then you look at it and you're like, why did they get David Spade for this?
He's got like three lines.
Yeah.
If that.
No, David Spade would have played Kevin Garnett.
Oh. So he wouldn't have played a character that would work. He would be playing actual NBA star Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like no makeup or anything. Like just he looks like David Spade.
Yeah,
but
you can't
he's
do
like,
the
oh,
makeup.
I'm Kevin Garnett. And then they like crudely edit him into the basketball video.
Speaking of
he's putting up all these shots.
Speaking of David
Spade.
Would you
like that movie a lot more, Scott?
I would have laughed for sure.
Speaking of David Spade playing an NBA star,
where's this going?
I think the best basketball player that they could have cast in this movie is Allen Iverson. I think Allen Iverson would have been a much more interesting movie for me than Kevin Garnett.
Or they could have got the guy that's friends with Kim Jong-un.
From the Jazz.
Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman.
Yeah. I didn't know anything.
I was thinking of like when you guys said that Kevin Garnett wasn't a good pick, I started to think to myself and I thought Ron Artest. or Meta World Peace. Yeah. Mm. I think he, Dennis, Allen, all those guys, I think would have been good options.
Scottie Pippen.
No, not as much. I don't think.
Now you're just naming basketball players you know.
Here, it's got
Derek got Fisher. Yeah. He'd be good.
If Zach said he needed Steve to be Nash. Good at trash talk, I got it. Larry
Shaq.
Bird.
But oh yeah, Larry Bird.
In 2012.
Yeah, yeah. King of Trash Talk, Larry Bird.
Would have, old man Larry Bird. Yeah.
It would have been pretty funny if it was Shaq.
Shaq, method acting his character Shazam. Mm.
I thought you were gonna say Shaq playing you know what Kevin Garnett.
That I actually feel like this would be kind of cool. This movie made in the 70s, Larry Bird. Martin Scorsese directing, like fresh off of Taxi Driver.
I don't know if I see the Larry Bird part, but yeah.
Mainly just because Jake brought up Larry Bird, and it made me think, what if this movie was made in the 70s?
Yeah.
Larry Bird, he gets his magic stone, he comes out and he says, who's playing for second?
Which I'll be honest, I don't even know if Larry Bird was playing in the 70s.
I don't know either.
I think he may have been playing later.
Scott just flipped over to our camera view so we could, you know, for the first time see each other. And I like how me, Zach, and Jake all look like we're in the same room.
Yeah.
But Scott definitely looks like he's in a different room. Yeah,
Scott might be on a different planet.
I am.
Scott looks like he's about to start streaming some game.
For the Patriots, I could reach out and touch Scott probably. Like yeah. Scott and I could lock hands across the table. Yeah, that's not me. That arm didn't have very much Howie energy. But
somehow Scott just looks completely different from the rest of us. So, well,
hold on, I'm gonna change the color of this thing behind me.
Oh, yeah, that'll fix it.
This is
it
good
for
podcast.
Sure.
I was gonna say this feels like Patreon content now. Should we wrap this up?
Yeah, let's put this one to bed.
Yeah, I think I'm out of it. Scott, can you put this in the ultrasonic for me?
Yeah, you gotta put an ultrasonic. After those other things are done, though.
Yeah.
My earrings, they fell into the ultrasonic.
I don't feel like we got a lot of reaction from you. Did it? Your other bets not hit?
We're waiting on this last one.
Okay.
This is the...
if it hits higher than an 8.
The final. Yeah.
Well, Jake, you're up first.
I am having such a hard time arriving at a number. I've been thinking about it for a while because I hated watching this movie, but I think it was a good movie. So, and I got a lot riding on this. So I'm going to go ahead and give this 8.2 uncut gems.
Do we want to do the normal order where I would go next, or do you want to save mine for last to see if we hit?
Let's save yours for last. Okay. We got a lot riding on this. If I could get really sweaty right now, that'd be great.
I'm going to give this movie 8.9 fake earrings that Jake is currently wearing.
I'm not.
Tyler.
They're all gone. I'm going to give this also 8.2 black opals.
Mm.
Or what color was it?
I think it was black opal.
Okay, yeah. I'm putting something in the sheet. This isn't what I'm rating it. I'm just trying to see something, like what I would have to rate it to get it below 8.
That'd be hilarious if he got it there and he's like, okay, 6.7.
Wow.
I'm really helping you out right now, Jake.
Yeah. Zach did all the work.
You might be killing my last bit.
To save.
All right. I have to rate this a 6.2.
Here, Scott, this is for you. If you could just bump the rating. it's a Rolex.
Is this a real Rolex?
It's a real Rolex.
All right. I'll bump it up a little bit. I'm going to give this 7.4 shots to the face, which brings this one to an 82%.
We did it.
I hit so big. If somebody comes in that door and kills me.
I was just going to say, great moment for you to get shot in the face.
It would have been awesome if you would have like prepped Carla, Scott's wife, for this. To like just crane her into the room.
If she would have, if she would have been here when I walked in, I probably would have asked her if she would do it.
It would have been even better if you had had Carlos come do this.
Carla, I had him drive from Phoenix,
yes,
to just pretend to shoot me on the podcast,
yeah, to just sit outside this room for an hour,
but let him into Scott's house without Scott knowing.
Yes, yeah.
This comes to our third highest this season so far.
Oh wow!
Grand Budapest is in the one spot for season 5, or season 4, season 5.
Five.
In the 2 spot is Ford v Ferrari, and then this is in the 3rd spot, Uncut Gems.
We did a bit after Parasite, for which 2019 movie should have won Best Picture.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
You think this is it?
Two of you guys said Ford, and then I think Scott and I said Parasite.
And then Zach decided that that means that Parasite wins.
Yes.
Because he
voted. Oh, but yeah. Now we have a third 19, so now we have, you want to redo that again.
But this wasn't, I thought we were just doing the nominations.
Yeah, this wasn't
Are we just
nominated.
Doing 2019 movies?
We didn't, I don't think we thought that much about it.
This would not be my Best Picture pick for, of the movies we've seen so far, I would still pick Ford v Ferrari.
Me too.
This, I think, replaces Parasite for me.
Oh, wow.
Well, I mean, I rated it higher, so yeah.
Yeah.
This is my favorite so far.
This would not replace Parasite for me.
So I guess now now Ford wins.
It now has 50% of the vote. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And that carries.
So you guys, you want to go to Pechanga and collect my winnings with me?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to put it all on more sports.
Oh, good.
I'm going to put it on Tiger to win the PGA next month.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, where are we going next week, Scott?
Next week, we are going to one of my drafts, one of Zach's picks, Gone Girl.
All right. Well, looking forward to it. And Jake, Howie, do you have any final thoughts? Jakey, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Yeah, let's go get some bagels and some slices.
Dude, I think this episode is just going to be effed up.